Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. I'm going to read this morning out of the Message translation rather than our default setting of the New International Version. I'm going to read out of the Message, Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this, didn't know the first thing about the way God works, hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel, hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. Now, because of Christ, dying that death and shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we are now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals, and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. And that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. This is the word of God for the people of God. I was first appointed as a United Methodist pastor 45 years ago. And at that time, I was appointed to serve three small country churches. They were on what we call a circuit. They were on a circuit together, and I was the lone pastor. That appointment happened to be in rural southern Indiana, across the river from Louisville, Kentucky. I had grown up a city boy in the Chicago suburbs, and most of the church members grew up in the country, working on the farm, working their land. I was fresh out of college where I'd studied math and science as an engineering student. Most of the members of my parishes didn't attend college. So there was this huge cultural shift for me to adjust to in order to connect with the people that I served in these three congregations. For example, at that time I was young and single and had a lot of invitations to come over for a meal, and so people would say, "Hey, Pastor, why don't you come for dinner?" And I said, that sounds great. And so let me just double check. What time do you want me there? About 5 or 6 o'clock. I said, 5 or 6 o'clock? No, you missed dinner. Dinner is at noon. If you're going to come for dinner, you're coming at noon. 5 or 6 o'clock is supper. You know, dinner is at noon. Oh, okay. Well, glad I figured that out. And it's nice to live around the big city of Louisville, Kentucky. Where's Louisville, Kentucky? That's what I always called it, Louisville, Kentucky. No, it's not Louisville. It's Louisville. That's how you have to say it. You got to swallow the last syllable, Louisville, in order to say it right. Now I've gotten so used to saying it that way. Louisville sounds so funny. But then they would introduce me as a city boy from Illinois. That's where I was from. Driving around on the country roads, which that's about all there were in that part of the county, but driving around on the country roads, I noticed that about everybody drove a pickup truck. But I also noticed that all the drivers of the pickup truck, whenever you'd pass on one of those country roads, they'd go like this. You know, about everybody waved. I said, whoa, okay, you don't do that in the city of Chicago. And the other thing I noticed is I lived in the parsonage. There's no air conditioning, and so in the summertime, I loved to open up the windows. But the parsonage sat across one of those small country roads from a pasture, and with the open windows and the wind blowing just right, the cows that populated that pasture would just have a wonderful aroma that blew through my open windows. And early in the morning, I wouldn't have to set my alarm clock, because there would be this munching of cows right across from where my open window was that would wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They'd just munch, 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 munch. A lot of difference between this city boy and how he grew up and where I was serving in the country. People are different. People are different. People who live in the country are different from people who live in the city. People who live in Indiana are different from people who live in Illinois or Ohio. People who live in America are different from people who live in Mexico. People who live in suburbs, different from people who live in urban settings. People who are black are different from people who are white. People who are rich are different from people who are poor. People who are male are different from people who are female. People who are gay are different from people who are straight. People who are Methodist are different from people who are Catholic. People who are Christian are different from people who are Muslim. People who are different are different. People are different. That's just the nature of things. And those differences are part of what makes life in this world beautiful and exciting. It's like all the different colors in a Picasso masterpiece, or all the different colors in a glorious tapestry. Those differences are beautiful. The incredible variety of people makes life come to life, and God intended it that way. That's been God's plan from the very beginning. Unfortunately, instead of accepting our differences and celebrating what's good about our differences, we build walls around us. We try to keep life comfortable for us. Remember when I was in high school, in art class, we got to experiment with different medium. We got to sometimes do pencil drawings or charcoal drawings. Sometimes we did sculpting with modeling clay. Sometimes we did oil painting. My least favorite was to paint with watercolor. I don't know how anybody paints with watercolor. Whenever I'd paint with watercolor, I put a yellow sun and a blue sky, and I'd get a big green blob of a UFO right in the middle of my painting. I prefer a coloring page where all the lines are nicely drawn out for you, and you just use a crayon or a marker or something. You stay right within the lines. And if you stay right within the lines, you have a beautiful piece of artwork when you're done. Yet God doesn't intend for life in his kingdom to be separate and segregated. God's plan is for people to live in peace and harmony with one another. Different, yes. Separate, no. When we build walls, when we fail to accept others, when we fail to relate to others, when we fail to understand others, when we fail to pray for others, when we fail to love others because they're different, those walls keep us separated. And within those walls, it's easy to become critical. It's easy to become judgmental, prejudiced, fearful, And that's not what God has in mind for our life together. His vision is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, this way. In Christ's family, there is no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, all are equal. Given all the issues in our world today, we might think it's impossible that we live together in harmony and peace. But that's God's plan. It's His will. He wants it to work that way for us. And He can make it happen. And it's just like God to make the impossible happen. He has a plan. He has a way. And that way is for us to get along in spite of our differences through Jesus Christ. Sadly, the world doesn't often take that way. Even more sadly, the church doesn't even take that way very often. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to take a look at the walls that we build because we have differences. We build religious walls because we have different expressions of faith. We build economic walls, we build ethnic walls, we build generational walls, we build gender walls. And those walls are absolutely unnecessary. They can cause pain, they can cause hardship, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to tear down those walls. We're called to rise above what separates us. I'm going to start today with the religious walls. How do we rise above the religious walls that we build? How do we tear down what we have built up because of the differences that we have in our faith? Well, chapter 2 of Ephesians that I read just a few minutes ago gives us a clue about how to do it. But before we look at that, we want to understand a couple reasons why walls exist. What useful purpose do walls serve? Two things. One is walls exist to keep things out, to keep unwanted influences away from us. Walls there to defend us, to protect us against threats. In the Bible, they talk about walls being built around their vineyards, walls being built around their cities. That's to keep enemies, to keep thieves, to keep the unwanted influences out. Becky and I used to have a pretty big garden in our backyard. It's kind of pared down quite a bit over the years. We would put up a wall every single year. And we would put up a chicken wire fence that was about, 3 feet tall, and it would go all the way around the garden. It would keep the rabbits out. Wouldn't keep the deer out. So there were a couple of years that we put netting over our corn so that the deers wouldn't bother the corn. There were things that we would build as barriers to keeping out things that we wanted to keep out. Walls also exist to keep things in, to preserve or secure what is precious to us. We build fences in our backyard to keep our dogs in or to keep our kids in. Most of the houses in the subdivision that I live in have a fence around their backyard because most of the houses in our subdivision that I live in have dogs. And I have neighbors on all three sides, both sides and back, that have dogs, and they have fences. Now, keeping things out, defending against threats, keeping things in, securing what is precious, those aren't bad ideas. But listen, if there's no threat to protect yourself from, if there's no danger of something precious, a dog, a child, wandering away, then there would be no need for walls, no need for fences, no need for barriers. If privacy and security were not an issue, no walls and no fences would be needed. Does that compute? Think about that. In our world today, all around the world, over $250 billion is spent on cybersecurity, on building firewalls, on keeping malicious attacks on your personal information, your personal computer, your electronic information, keeping them out at bay. Those dollars being spent on cybersecurity are increasing astronomically year by year. In just a few years, it's predicted that the world will spend over $1 trillion on cybersecurity. But just imagine if there was no malware, if there was no phishing, if there were no viruses, if there were nothing that could harm your computer, nothing that could steal your identity, there's nothing out there that could, take your stuff, your information, your identity. If you were safe and secure, there'd be no need for a firewall, for cybersecurity. The same is true of the walls that exist between people. If no one ever posed the threat to anybody else, there would never be a need for a wall. If we could trust that what was precious to us would never wander away, would never be stolen, there'd be no need for a wall. If you take away our fear of being attacked, and if you take away our fear of losing what's valuable, then walls are unnecessary. But that's a clue to how we start to take them down. The walls that separate us religiously, economically, ethnically, and so on would not exist if we had no fear that we would be attacked or something precious taken from us. That's important to understand because taking down those walls or rising above those walls, however you want to look at it, is about adjusting our perceptions about what constitutes a threat. It's about readjusting our attitudes toward other people. And that's where Ephesians chapter 2 comes in. There's two things that the great apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Ephesians, to the Christians in Ephesus, there's two things there that he helps us understand about tearing down the walls. In fact, he even uses that phraseology back in verse 15. He tore down the walls we used to keep each other at a distance. Go back to verse 11. That passage says this: don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. So here's the first clue. Go ahead and recognize your differences. People are different. God intended it to be that way. Differences are okay. So just recognize that. You were called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. There's a difference in their religious perspective between Jews and Gentiles. There's a difference in their faith between Jews and Gentiles. Might even say the Jews had faith and the Gentiles had none. There's a huge difference there. And because of that, walls were built. And too often today, even, religion is used to build walls between people. In an ancient time, to a Jew, the Gentiles were created by God to be fuel for the fires of hell. That's a quote from an ancient Jewish source. The Gentiles were used by God as fuel for the fires of hell. That's the wall that existed. But what Paul is saying is, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we understand there's differences there. So we're gonna own those, and we're gonna recognize them. There's walls today between Christians and Muslims, Catholics and Protestants, liberals and conservatives, Orthodox and progressive, whatever identity you want to put on people's faith or beliefs. There's differences. For years in the United Methodist Church, conferences have been in radical defiance of either our general conference rules or our book of discipline. Bishops' annual conferences, especially in the Northeast and the Far West, have openly stated their disagreement with our United Methodist theology and policies and have willfully broken the rules of our connectional covenant. That's been happening for years. Okay, let's not sweep it under the carpet. Let's recognize that. That's the first way to deal with it. That's how this whole disaffiliation process came to a head, was because we realized we have differences. But just because there's differences isn't a reason to separate. You need to get behind what those differences stand for. Why are those differences there? And in the United Methodist process of our discussion or debate, whatever you want to call it, over the years, we're realizing, yeah, it's easy to see where we're different, but now let's look below the surface and understand why. And the why is because we have different beliefs about God, different beliefs about Scripture. We have different beliefs about faith. You know, you put faith and Scripture and God all together, and that's the definition of a religion. So in some senses, you can interpret the fact that what's happening in the United Methodist Church is based on the fact that we have difference of religion. And we've built walls. And the disaffiliation process, in the best sense, is trying to help remove some of those walls. So that's where Paul starts. He says, okay, Christians in Ephesus, most of them were Gentiles. Most of them did not grow up in a Jewish home, although there were some, and they were having to live together, Jews and Gentiles, having to worship together, Jews and Gentiles, because they both had become Christian, because people had become Christian no matter where they came from. Now Paul's saying, how do you live together? Because there had been some problems, there had been some issues. He says, the first thing to do is just own our differences, where we've come from. But the second thing he helps us see is to look at the similarities. Okay, recognize the differences, but visualize the similarities. But now, he says in verse 13, you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. The Lord has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore the wall down that we used to keep each other at a distance, and so on and so forth. Christ, in verse 16, brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. That was the end of the wall building. It's now time to tear the wall down. The way to peace and harmony and reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ has given us the power to rise above our differences. The power of Christ has given us the power to take the bricks out of the wall, tear the walls down. And if he can tear the wall down between the ancient Jews and Gentiles, he can certainly tear any religious wall down. Think about this for a minute. The most formidable, the most impenetrable wall that exists is the one between a holy God and sinful people. Think about that. The thickest, most can't think of a word. The strongest wall that exists. The highest wall. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. The only way is to go through it. The wall that exists between us and God. And yet God has made a way through it, through the cross, through what Jesus has done for us, through his amazing love for us. He's torn that wall down and given us access to God. And if Jesus Christ can bring the divine and human together, he can bring groups of people, no matter where they stand, he can bring them together. The one similarity that every person has in common with every other person is our humanness. And in spiritual terms, that humanness is broken. That humanness is fallen. That humanness is sinful. And if we can visualize that, if we can see that, and know that the way we find harmony and peace in our brokenness is through Jesus Christ, then as we focus on Jesus, as we fix our attention on Jesus, then all of a sudden we've got something that can bring us together. No matter what our opinions are about anything else, if we recognize that I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, and yet we're both loved by God, and he's embraced us and he loves us, and we love him, then that common love for God can bring us together. Oh yeah, we can still arm wrestle over some issues. But we don't have to live lives with walls around us. I mentioned that three of my neighbors, one on each side and one in the back, all have fences because they all have dog at one time. There's still there's a neighbor that's lost a dog and doesn't have a dog now, but. And I've talked to the neighbor on the other side. And I've talked to the neighbors on both sides. They both want the walls to come down. They both want their fences out of the way. The only reason I have my fence here is because I have a dog. One of them told me that, now that they don't have a dog, I'd like to get rid of that fence. The other neighbor said, as soon as my dog's gone, I'm getting rid of that fence. You see, when the purpose for the fence is no longer there, the fence can come down. And that's true about the walls that exist between us as human beings. When the reason for our fear is gone, there's no reason to build a wall. And that's what the Prince of Peace can do for us. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He takes away our fear. He allows relationships between people to be full of peace, full of grace, full of truth. And when that happens, there's no need for any wall. So, let's make this personal this morning. Especially in the matter of religion. Someone you have a relationship with, that there's a wall that exists, and you know it. Might be in ideas about God, might be ideas about faith, about church, might be ideas about heaven or hell. There's a wall there. Maybe it makes your relationship uncomfortable. Religion's really important to you. Faith is really important to you. Maybe it's not important to them. That's a wall. Here's what I'd like you to do this morning. Remove a brick. Remove a brick. Find a way where you understand what the difference is, but you can find a similarity. You can visualize some common way to relate to when it comes to God. Take a brick out of that wall. And if I take a brick, and if you take a brick, and if you take a brick, if we each start taking the bricks that we can take, we can't manage all the bricks, But I can manage this one when it comes to my relationship with somebody else. If I could take that brick out of the wall, and all of a sudden, we start to tear the walls down. So that's my prayer for all of us this morning, is in response to God's word that will work to tear down the walls that exist between us and others, especially when it comes to religion. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you this morning for the power of your word. We are humbled before you. We understand that our world today is crazy. Relationships in our world today have gone out of whack. And even in the realm of faith, even in the realm of religion, even in the realm of where we should find some peace and respect for each other, there's contention, there's fighting, there's walls. We pray today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work to bring about a sense of your glory, your presence, your love, your grace, your truth, your peace in the hearts and minds of people all over the world. And we pray in our own lives, where we can take a brick out of the wall of a relationship that we have with somebody else in the area of faith, that you give us the wisdom and the courage to do so. We're so glad for the peace that we have with you. We pray that that peace in us from above will translate into peace in our relationships with others. That's our prayer. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, amen.